1,500 square foot service and parts building for Kia of Kirkland. We're going to have a 5-minute staff presentation, a 10-minute applicant presentation, and for some reason they think we're going to spend an hour and a half. But staff, Stacy Clausen, please start.
Thank you. Good evening. Stacy Clausen with the Planning Department. Tonight's a design response conference for the Lee Johnson Kia. And I'm going to skip past some of these things because I don't see anyone from the public here. And so just to orient you, site's located at 11845 Northeast 85th Street and currently contains the Lee Johnson Chevrolet and Mazda dealership, showroom, and service facilities. The proposal is to add a new 13,500 square foot building that would be used by Kia of Kirkland for a service and parts facility. It's highlighted in brown on the overhead display. And it will be located to the west of the existing Chevy Mazda services and parts area. And it will be accessed by the same driveway as that current building is on access off 120th. There were some questions at our last meeting about exactly what is existing out on site presently. And so this is a map that shows existing conditions. So the property, just as background, is located in our RH 2A through 2C zones. And just one little piece is also located in our PR 3.6 zone. The site presently contains a large existing service parts facility, again, that's used for Chevy and Mazda. It's located here on the site. And then as well, two existing showrooms for Chevy and then Mazda. They're each about 7,000 square feet in size. Site improvements include area for outdoor display of vehicles for sale and lease, and then as well storage of inventory vehicles as well as parking for employees and customers. The site has been improved with frontage improvements along 120th and Northeast 85th Street. There's existing vehicular access off of Northeast 85th Street here, and off of 120th here, and here, to the top inventory area. And then also there is emergency vehicle access via 118th Avenue Northeast here. As part of previous development on site, extensive landscape buffers have been established around the perimeter of the property, particularly on the south portion of the site, here, 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 and here, as well as landscaping on the site. And then there's a smaller buffer located around the perimeter of the other vehicle display areas. Just kind of a review of the existing surrounding kind of zoning framework that we're working within. The site's located in the Northeast 85th Street sub area, and along the north portion of the site, it's bordered by Northeast 85th Street. All of this area is part of a kind of a regional commercial core center in the Northeast 85th Street area. The properties located to the north of Northeast 85th Street are located in the RH1A zone district, and there we're seeing higher building heights, potentially up to 67 feet above average building elevation. To the east, what we see is a kind of a transition, a gradation from higher intensity uses along Northeast 85th Street, moving to the south where you'll see residential. And that's reflected in the allowed uses, commercial oriented more towards Northeast 85th Street, and then transitioning to medium to multifamily, and then to single family residential. To the south, again, you kind of see a gradation across the site and also to the properties to the south with commercial, higher intensity with higher building heights closer to Northeast 85th Street. And then as you go further south, you see that the building heights get lower, and you see finally the transition along Northeast 80th Street to more residential uses. And then to the west, we have the I-405 ramp. And so, let's see, I'm going to bypass those real quick. So just as kind of a little bit of background, we met in May of this year and had a conceptual design conference for the project. The two really key issues that came out of that we they'd requested some more information on were those relating to site organization. And the DRB requested that the applicant bring back information that depicts the site organization, including concepts for future development on the site. And then also corporate identity, and you requested information on how the corporate architecture for the different brands will work together as part of an overall campus design, and also requested information on signage. So the applicant has responded to these questions that came up by providing additional materials. One of those is a site diagram that kind of works you through the site. And essentially, I'm just going to kind of walk you through quickly through the site here. So essentially, what you see in yellow is this is kind of the area that's dedicated to vehicle display here. And essentially, the focus on this area is promoting the site as a destination for vehicle sales. And it's a large display area. It's there to represent the depth and breadth of the vehicle inventory on site. And it's been essentially designed for maximum exposure off of Northeast 85th Street. And it transitions then to the showroom zones right here. So the blue is depicting the showroom buildings. And these, the really, the focus on this is to showcase the merchandise and reflect the corporate image of the different dealers that are on the site. And essentially, these buildings have been designed with that idea in mind. They have taller ceilings, more glass area, really kind of a sculptural facade, if you kind of like a jewel box design to the existing buildings out there. And essentially, they're there to give the customers a highlighted glimpse of the product and to establish that corporate identity. And these buildings serve as the backdrop to the vehicle display area, and they form the most prominent visual identity at the site. And then finally, what we do is we transition then to our more service-oriented portion of the site that's shown in red. And these buildings are dedicated to more the industrial activity, the maintenance and service of vehicles. And as a result, these buildings have been designed to reflect this purpose. They have less ornamentation, and they have been sited in a less prominent position on the site and screened, particularly on the rear portions of the site, the southern portions of the site, from view from adjoining properties. And the building served as a backdrop to the more articulated forms that we see in the showroom zone. And it should be noted that the Kia service building is in this zone. It's right in here. And then finally, we transition kind of to the purple areas here that you see as more just storage areas. And these have the least prominent position on the site, and they've been screened from view by landscape buffers. So essentially, that's kind of just the basic organization of the site. The site's been tied together with signage elements, as well as some of the architectural stylings. Also, you'll see a pedestrian connection network connecting through the different zones on the site. And what you see here is kind of relating back to the question about, well, what's planned for the future. What you see here is kind of a plan zeroing in on the yellow forms highlighted there are kind of future buildings. So these would be part of the future development anticipated at the site, potentially two new showroom kind of in that second zone, that blue zone that we just looked at, and then a new service building back in that red zone. And the Kia service building that you'll see, again, proposed for this evening is right here. So another kind of issue that came up related to signage, and there has been a master sign plan approved for the project that was reviewed and approved by the planning director. And a master, essentially, I want to just kind of walk you through the sign package as it's been approved in brief terms really quickly here. So essentially, it's been designed around kind of a hierarchy of signage, essentially with the placement, the size, and the design of the signage kind of reflecting each of the different purposes on the site that we've just kind of walked through. And the idea is to essentially use signage in a couple different ways to get customers onto the site, to get them to turn into the right entrance, to get them in the right direction, wayfinding, and then to the proper destination. So those are kind of the primary functions that were anticipated with this sign package. And so the first level of signage is the ground-mounted signage along Northeast 85th Street. And here, emphasis has been kind of on getting customers into the site, essentially, and also acknowledging the different brands available on the site. And given the large separation between the street and the buildings, and the presence of multiple dealerships on the site, these signs are really viewed as a key opportunity to identify and promote the different brands that are available on the sites in order to get customers into the site and looking at the products here. The second layer is the wall signs that we see along the showroom buildings. And essentially, these are there to for branding purposes, to distinguish the different brands. And then they're designed also, as you can kind of see from the Mazda dealership out there, they've been designed to enliven and contribute to the visual interest of the building forms as well. And then a third layer of signage is the wall signs we see on the service buildings. These serve a slightly different purpose. These are more intended to be for wayfinding signs, so you can identify the building that you need to go to, and then in particular more the bay that you may need to go to obtain your service or your maintenance. And then reinforcing that, we see signs along 120th that identify where you should turn for different facilities and services that are available on the site. That's kind of a general overview of the sign package that was approved. And this is just kind of a shot looking in at the site, kind of showing, illustrating some of those sign concepts. We see ground-mounted signs along Northeast 85th Street. It should be noted that the sign installation is not complete out on the site. We've only really seen... Actually, I'm not sure we've seen any new signage installation that's occurred. Yeah. Now, the new ground-mounted signs have not been installed at this point in time. The existing Chevrolet pylon sign would remain under this sign plan, and then we would see new ground-mounted signs along Northeast 85th Street. And again, the sign installation has not been completed at this time. When it is completed, we will see on-site landscaping around the perimeter of the signage for that to soften the base of those signs. So I just want to go through and note some design guidelines of particular note to this facility, and just wanted to note there, of course, architectural scale is always a common concern as we come forward to you. In this case, the building is it's a two-story building. It's a smaller building than we typically see, but nonetheless, it has incorporated canopies and different colors to better identify the architectural scale of the building. And then also, the building does contain a number of blank walls, which you may have seen by the material submitted before you now, but they're not located along major sidewalks or internal walkways or along the primary frontages. They're really on the back sides of the building where we see the existing landscape buffers in place. For access, the design guidelines encourage site development to contain a coordinated access scheme, and the proposal, I believe, is consistent with that approach here, and it has coordinated pedestrian and vehicular access. Also, the design guidelines note that development should provide preferred pedestrian amenities along all sidewalks, interior pathways, and within plazas or other open spaces. In this case, the building's located, again, within that industrial zone on the site where there are more limited opportunities to configure the buildings to encourage pedestrian activity and pedestrian focal points. So I would encourage that pedestrian amenities be reevaluated when the future kind of showroom buildings kind of come forward to you for review. And then also the design guidelines note the desire to provide convenient pedestrian access between the buildings and the street and those different areas. And again, they have established an existing pedestrian network through the site, connecting to all the different frontages through different mechanisms, and they propose to extend that to serve this building as part of this proposal. The design guidelines also touch upon open space and landscaping. And landscaping, the role of that is really to emphasize entries into buildings, pedestrian areas, and to enhance public spaces and screen blank walls and service areas. And the applicant has presented a landscape scheme for your review this evening. And then finally, there's information in the design guidelines that address building materials, colors, and details. And of particular note, the design guidelines note that service enclosures should be compatible with the design of adjacent buildings, and also contain some recommendations for building materials, colors, and details, which I've summarized in the packet before you. Really quickly moving on to zoning issues, the proposal would comply with our setback requirements as well as our height requirements. Maximum lot coverage has been averaged across the site, and it would comply with that. Landscaping, there have been requirements for landscape buffers to be established along the adjoining residential properties, and those are currently in place and either meet or exceed these standards that we have in front of you. There's also landscaping around the outdoor display areas that's been installed. And then we also have some other miscellaneous standards that staff will be evaluating the project for compliance with, including exterior lighting standards, noise standards, the height of the ground floor. There's a minimum height of 15 feet required, and then as well as kind of court. There's some limitations on vehicular access from 118th Avenue Northeast. So with that, if you have any questions, I can take those now, or if not, I can turn it over to the applicant to go over the proposal.
Any questions from the board or the staff? Okay, we'll go to the applicant.
Good evening. My name is Larry Ho. I'm from Fryer and Ho Architects. We are the project architect. We started working on the Lee Johnson property in the summer of 2004, and we have done two different phases, and this is what we have accomplished now. We have done the Chevy showroom, the master showroom, and the service and parts building for the two dealerships. The next step is to get the Kia service and showroom onto the property. The Kia dealership right now is on a lease facility off 116th, and they were told that they need to vacate the building by June of 2008. That's why we're in a big hurry to get this parts and service buildings established and built in time. The Kia showroom and the future Ford dealership showroom will happen between the two existing dealerships, and the potential of the Ford parts and service building will be to the west of the proposed Kia service building. As Stacy explained earlier, the site organization is for car display next to Northeast 85th, all the showrooms and next zones, and all the service building following that, and the inventory behind them. The site slope about 75 feet from the south towards the north. One of the issues we discussed last time is you want to see how difficult it is to see the property. Our client had shot this video from the off ramp of 405. Oops. And the view that was shot, and seeing the vegetation along the way. So you can see it's quite dense all the way along the frontage of the property. I think this is getting close to where the service building is going to be behind those trees. You have the off-ramp, you're turning onto Northeast 85th. You can probably see a little bit glimpse of a building right there, and that's about all you can see from the street. These are earlier pictures we submitted last time showing where the location of the building will be and how it's viewed across on 405 and how it's viewed along Northeast 85th on the northeast corner. And this is from the neighboring property to the east. When we take the cameras, take it over the 6-foot fence to take a shot. And this is from view from 118th, and where we can see the top of the building. These couple more pictures show the existing landscape buffer along the west side and the south side. They are fairly dense. But this landscaping has been installed for about a year. And these are along the south side. So what we are proposing for the building is 12 service bays on the back, and then the write-up area and the parts storage area and the retail counter for parts and accessories. Upstairs will be parts storage. The showroom building, like Stacy said, will have taller ceilings, more glass, more sculptural facades, and more corporate identities. The first service building is used more like as a backdrop for the showrooms, and is using the same material that we have on the existing building. In fact, we are proposing the same color scheme that's been used, which is two tones of grays and some black accent. We are proposing to build this mainly out of concrete, which is the main material used on the other building. This is a view that Stacy showed earlier. This is how the future showroom will be in the future service building. The main pedestrian corridor will be up the sidewalk and go through here, which we will be proposing the pedestrian kind of plaza focus area, the stair and elevator going up to the next level and hook up the sidewalk into the other buildings. View from northwest. View closer to 85th. View from the west side. This is building this proposed, but basically you won't see this view because of the trees in front of it. And view from the southwest. This is view at eye level when you drive up the service out. This is the proposed building, and that's the future building behind. This is parts of the existing building. The stair belong to the existing building. Service drive and the front entrance of the service building. We are proposing two signs for this service building. The Kia logo and it's just a sign that says service, just for information. View from the west. And this is the back side, basically it's a blank wall. And this will be the a loading area for parts storage upstairs. And this feet off this driveway going up to the roof of the existing building. This is the loading. Same thing. Okay, signage. Like Stacy said earlier, we have the big freestanding sign along Northeast 85th, and then the building wall mounted sign that identify the individual brand and the logos and the dealership name. And along this service drive, the sign along this building are just designed for people to see on the driveway. So they are a lot smaller, they are more directional, and there are a couple more sign at that street entrance. That's to show, for example, these are the two signs on along 120th. That shows where the showroom is and where the parts are. And these are the existing freestanding signs. These are the existing landscaping. That is along one of the buffer. This is along 120th. This one's along 85th. This is another buffer. This is the drive on 85th, on each side of the main drive going up, and this is along the main drive. I guess Ray Robinson, our landscape architect, will just talk about his landscaping proposal.
Good evening, Ray Robinson. And I think the the main things I wanted to talk about the landscape is because there's an existing landscape, we wanted to harmonize using a similar street tree program on the islands and around the buffer. And then as we move closer into the building, what we're looking at really is the facility to break down the blank facades. And so these islands here, we're using the same plant material that occur in the existing landscape, so that it's consistent for consistency. And then as we move around the building here, we have a larger blank facade where we're using taller growing shrubs against the wall and a series of trees to break up that facade. Here, larger scale trees. There's existing screening right here, although it's not shown. It is existing and it's fairly robust. And here again, we're picking up the same plant palette so that there's consistency with this. As we move around into this area, the separation area between the two buildings is sort of a slot between them. We use some columnar trees to again break down that scale and give sort of a green edge between the two buildings. I know it's probably difficult for you to see the plant list here, but I'd like to go to the next page and show you, get a sense of the texture and color. So the hornbeams are a signature tree that are used out into the parking islands. This is the Katsura, which we're using on some of the larger islands and next to the building so that we can get that seasonal color in it. The Fagus, we'll probably use a more columnar one. We're using between the buildings, the slots in the building. And then the Ginkgo, which you may be familiar with, fairly columnar, bright yellow, we're using as accents at particular areas. We do use some evergreens, the magnolia evergreens, to, again, in the winter, give a little bit of respite from all the trees that have defoliated, and of course it has blossom. Most of the ground covers that we seek to use are low water use, and that's an emphasis in this landscape. And some are natives, the Arctostaphylos, the Kinnikinick, Barberry, Ceanothus. We're trying to get some color during the spring, summer, and fall, so we're emphasizing that. And our ground covers, we're trying to use a fair amount of grasses, most of which some will die down in the winter, but many will be spring, summer, and fall. Some are evergreen. And again, they'll give that sort of kinesthetic interest when it's a little bit windy, and then the foliage and so forth. We're also suggesting that we use some of the Boston ivy on the blank facade, so eventually you'll really get more of a green wall effect. In some cases, we're using vines to go over up some of the architectural elements. On the ground covers, a predominance of fairly hardy ground covers, but again, we're looking at a variety of texture, scale, interest with bloom as much as we can, some fragrance. And I think that largely covers the landscape, the concept of it. Most of the areas are fairly narrow, except for the couple lobes that you saw, and so we're just seeking to use the plant material to break down the facade a bit and bring some interest to it. And I turn this over to questions.
Yeah. That's the end of our presentation. Behind you is the color board that we prepared for the building. Those are the exact colors we use on the other buildings. So if you have a question, we're happy to answer.
Any questions?
Do you have these sheets up on the available to the projector?
Which one?
Like A2.1, for example.
The site plan.
The site plan.
This one?
Yeah.
Or the master plan.
So if we were to look at the landscaping, the buffer landscaping or the landscaping that's being provided as a part of this proposal, Are you basically just landscaping that little?
That's what we are proposing.
And there's existing landscaping that's a really robust screen along that north edge, right?
That's
where we saw in the video.
Oh yeah, this on
that large triangular non-parking area.
No, it's in here. It's on the freeway right of way, actually.
Yeah, that's on the freeways right of way.
Right.
What's in the big triangular area to the north end of your site?
That is I have a screening, and the rest are a landscape area. We are required to leave a certain percentage of the site being pervious, and that being close to the residential area, that's most of our pervious surface.
Okay.
So this has been improved, and has been
So that's essentially screened landscaping that sort of augments what already occurs right now in the freeway right of way.
Right.
And then on your property line to the east, and then to the southwest. To the west and the southwest. These are already full.
Right.
And all of that was planted with the original construction.
Mm-hmm. And how deep are those landscaping?
I think they are 30 feet.
Are there any evergreens in there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like rows.
Yeah, there are incense cedars and some thuyas. Yeah, it's fairly dense with evergreens.
When it first came out.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Todd Johnson, just because I'm real familiar with that. We actually, along the south there, it's a larger area than what was required under the code, because we had talked to the neighbors, and the one thing they really wanted to see was a real dense buffer. So about 8 years ago, we planted a number of trees along there that have now since matured and are virtually blocking their view. And then with this project that we just finished up a year ago or so, we added to that to meet with the city's requirements of all the additional landscaping. But it's quite a dense buffer up there.
This is a picture of the landscape buffer in the south, yeah.
That's the south. I'm confused. So north is to the right in these drawings. So that's what's north edge. And then the south edge along the parts building where you park on top of it, how's that buffer looking?
Right.
That?
And that's, I think,
back in there.
That's like a 20 or 25.
25. So it seems to me, in terms of impact, in terms of, I don't want to get started on discussion of the design proposal, but these landscape buffers, I think, are important to the performance of this design.
We're in question phase, right?
Did you consider vertical landscaping or green screen on the building?
Insofar as we use the Boston ivy, we did, but we didn't put any architectural armatures and doing it that way.
For it to catch or to climb or to.
Right, the Boston ivy will climb, but we didn't do anything at intermediate levels up. No.
And where's the Boston ivy on this
on the building?
Sure.
Boston ivy is all around this edge right here, where it's actually one of the taller facades, so it runs all the way around through here. And then we have relatively tall growing shrubs here along it, so we're going to get a fairly immediate screen now while the Boston ivy is growing in. And then we have placed some fair number of trees along it. So we're going to get some immediate breaking down of the facade with the trees, and then over time the Boston ivy will take over and go up it.
And how wide is that planter strip along that?
It's about 6 feet.
So you can put a tree in there that'll grow as a half tree that'll...
Yeah, yeah. It'll flatten out against the building, and then it'll stretch out toward the
drive. What grows as a half tree that'll work there?
Well, most of the columnar trees will. Anything from ginkgos to hornbeams to any of those will do that, because they're they'll naturally grow toward the sun for one thing, and then and when they go against the building, they'll naturally die off, or they can be pruned, but they'll do that fairly successfully. It's not a lot of room, but it's more easily gotten to with a green wall with a tree initially than you know, something that's architectural that, you know, at best we could start putting planters mid-level and then we're still waiting years for things to grow in or hang over.
How high is that wall?
Is that, what, 25 or 30?
It's 28 feet,
yeah.
How big are the trees that are going to be, that are proposed to go in there?
I think we have 12 footers.
But that is a ramp that ramped down one floor from here to there. So the start over here is almost the same level as the 13 feet above the finished floor. So you have a 13 foot of drop from here along here.
Yeah, that's that well that drops
right.
down into that
right.
well, right?
Well, the well's kind of further around.
So, I guess I'm just looking at this plan. I didn't realize about the well. Not that it affects the design, but is that a rockery or is that a retaining wall that
we're both saying a rockery.
A rockery, okay. Well, I don't have any questions for the afternoon. I think I'd like to go to discussion.
Anybody else have any questions?
Can you just describe briefly, kind of, I know it's a car-oriented deal, but what is the pedestrian circulation? For example, if you wanted to go, you know, just kind of walk around the building, it looks like
this is a sidewalk. And this will continue to the fourth service building when it comes into play. And this side will hook up to that one. Let's go across the front of the existing building.
This is the other one. The diagram that Jason put up earlier. There's a sidewalk that comes off 120th here.
It's got one on either side. There's a sidewalk that's back in the showroom building right here, and then there's actually a sidewalk that's
yeah.
in front of the
yeah.
service building that's going to extend up.
It really doesn't give any relief from
so
the side.
Kind of feathers off.
This is,
yeah,
this is
the building,
building. Over
here.
So
yeah. feathers
it would
off
end
right,
right there.
Well, I have one question on the signage. There's a little difference between your site plan and the sign factories, because they're showing monument signs. I'm assuming one is going to replace the certified use vehicle sign, because they are showing three monument signs down the front along 85th with the various manufacturers.
Right. The existing signs haven't been replaced yet with the new signs that have been approved.
And they're showing the Mazda coming off the message sign down at the corner of 85th.
Correct.
And 120. When the fourth...
And the message center sign would actually be replaced with a new sign that's actually smaller than the existing sign that's out there.
And the assumption would be the fourth dealer mm-hmm. would get a fourth monument sign.
So essentially we have the existing pylon that serves Chevy, okay, and then we get a new monument sign for each, essentially, of the dealerships.
So there would be four plus the message sign?
So there would be the pylon sign and then three monument plus the message, yeah.
I'm going to suggest that they think about a wayfinding sign at the end of the drive up from 85th once those two buildings block off the service building behind. People coming up the drive thinking they're going to the service department.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right now, the building's wide open. You can see where you're supposed to go.
This is existing, so that's the only one that's new, right? And another one will be proposed in the year.
Right now, on that, they can if they come up the drive from 85th,
this drive.
Yeah, they can see where they're supposed to go if they want to get their car serviced. Now go to your next site plan of the future development.
Right.
Just or even better, your perspective. The very last one in our packet.
Kind of an internal sign that says.
Yeah, because if you come up 85th, once those two new buildings are in there.
Right.
Or even if they're not in, I guess it's helpful to have a sign to steer somebody.
See, right now they can read the signs off the face of the service building behind.
Right.
Because it's open.
Right. You can see where to go, but you don't necessarily know if you turn right or turn left is the better route, and I don't know which it is. But
We can have a sign here that says service, go around.
Yeah, right.
Something like that, yeah.
I have one question, if I may. I was actually wondering, is the black banding on the other service building, or is that a new element?
We don't have a black banding on the other service building, but we do have black canopies that we were hanging off of the building, so we are playing off the black. There are metal canopies right in front of you. It doesn't show up very well, but they were there. They are still there.
To me, the building is so invisible that I'm not sure.
I just wondered. I couldn't remember.
Okay. We any further questions of the applicant? Great. We will discuss.
Comments from the audience? Is there an audience?
Is there anybody from the audience who would wish to address this project?
So it's only the applicants.
Seeing none, the board will go into discussion.
I'll lead off, I guess. The four areas that I was looking at was signage, which appears to be in relation to the project. I think that it's insignificant for the work. The main sign is already existing sign. If this was another community, that would be probably 120 feet tall. I'm very pleased that it's not. this building has virtually no impact to pedestrian traffic. Therefore, many of the things that we look at, I think, are minimized and I don't think are relevant. I was glad to see the master planning, to see that the buildings would be in character and in a logical pattern, and that the site circulation is cohesive, and it appears to be very logical and orderly. And the master plan makes all the sense in the world and allows for growth. And I think the landscaping is very appropriate. I'm glad to see some buffering around the building. The existing landscaping buffer that I was concerned about is going to remain throughout the master plan. That was the one that's closest to the off-ramp. And there's two pieces of buffer. One's on their site and one is on the side of the highway. So I think this is perfectly in keeping, and I'm favorable to the project.
You have any comments, Kevin?
No, I agree with everything Brian said. I'm going to be a lot more interested in the future showrooms when and if they come. As the proposed building, as Brian said, is virtually invisible from traffic unless you're there looking for it. Don't have any problems.
Yeah, it's a good party to review the world's most innocuous building.
No comments.
I don't know if Mr. Ho wanted that.
I think Brian hit it absolutely on the head for me too. I think, you know, this is a building that you really can't see it. I think the best thing that it can do is make sure that it stays that way. And you know, that the landscaping augments that or, you know, covers the back end at some point. But I completely agree with Brian. I don't have any issues with this thing. It's in an invisible location. It's out of the public way. This is a project that should just be seen from 85th and maybe 120th and not from anywhere else, and I think it's doing it. So it's I have nothing to add to you.
Do you have any other comments?
No.
I move to approve.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
Yeah.
We only used 45 of our allotted half hour and a half.
I know what I was going to say. It's the third inning.
Your firm has the record for both the longest and the shortest time of year.
Yeah, we really want us to get into that.
Eric, can you speak to... Well, we're moving on to board business.
Thank you.
Our future schedule? We are now on for...
Can I? Well, let's see.
I understand we are not on for the 2nd.
Right.
We're on for the 18th because the applicant's not going to be here.
The 18th.
No, we're not. That's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
can
do that.
24th?
Right now we don't show anything on July 16th, but
no.
You should hold that so otherwise.
We are on for the 24th
of
July for the Slater.
Can we say
that? It doesn't show here at all. 24th of July?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, 24th. Okay. Doesn't show on your schedule?
No,
it doesn't show on mine.
No.
All right. So we're not going to have any. So that I think that's the next meeting then. Did you say Tuesday the 24th?
Tuesday the 24th.
Okay.
For whatever it's worth, Tuesdays work better for me.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't.
Oh.
Well, you're going to have to take that up with your compatriots, and we certainly could change the meeting schedule. Also, the next meeting, though, after that would be the first Monday in August, and I think it's a 6th, if I'm not mistaken, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there will be either, probably either Totem Lake Mall or Park Place back on that date.
Ouch. So, okay.
Is that not a good date for you?
It's Lisa's birthday.
It's vacation time.
I'm actually on vacation myself that week.
I don't think we're actually going anywhere, but that is right. My wife's birthday, so I'm so here. So unless we can process that as quickly as we did tonight.
Well,
yeah, that's going to work.
I don't think so.
It's just getting to the civilized dinner hour right now.
600,000 new square feet of office in downtown Kirkland.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Wait, in front of an audience, you don't think?
Yeah. Would let's see, the next 6 is 13th, August 13th work for you all?
Or if they...
Much better.
The 24th, I'm pretty sure I'm out of town, but I that's what I emailed Tammy.
24th of
more
July?
People. Yeah, would that work for more of the rest of you?
The 13th
would
be for you.
13th of August is good for me, the 24th is good for me, but the other one that we were looking at, the 30th of July was bad. I think that was on Tammy's email or someone's email.
I think there were more people that had problems with the 24th than the 30th. So.
Oh, really?
Okay, so possibly July 30th.
I missed two in a row, so.
But the 13th.
So I got to do the 13th.
After you.
August is fine.
Okay.
I could work the 6th if it's not convenient.
All right, we'll get back to you on that. I honestly don't know.
Really fancy on a Saturday.
I do. I know one of those projects. They're both kind of Park Place is hot to trot. We've kind of presumed that Totem Lake is coming back and kind of held that the first meeting in August temporarily, but then they kind of flake out on us.
For what it's worth, I'm just sure that those should not be in the same evening.
Oh no, absolutely. I think either one is a full agenda.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're double hitters, both of them.
Right. Okay, thank you.
I have kind of an administrative question. Who's number 3 in line to chair if something happens?
We don't
Secretary have. General, I think.
I guess it would be the chair emeritus, maybe the previous chair.
it has happened, and I think you've kind of made spur of the moment decision.
Usually the former chair. Yeah.
He's whoever shows it.
Then you could have pecking order chairs here.
Okay, that was it for me.
Okay. If there's no other business, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second that one.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Good work. Great.
Well, here. Otherwise, we'll see if that annexation meeting.
Well, that'll be going on for a while.